So today's class will be given by Her Grace Kalasada Mataji. The topic is Conquering Hearts in Three Steps and Glory of the Seventh Goswami. So Mataji, I give this call to you now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much for this opportunity. Very grateful to all the organizers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudiraye Nashta Prayeshu Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabhaya Namaha Pankaja Malini Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankaja Angraye Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 18, reading from Text 12. Yattadvapurbhati vibhushana yudhair avyakta chidvyaktam adharayathari babhuvate naiva savamano vatuhu Sampashyato Devya Gatir Yathanataha. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord appeared in His original form with ornaments and weapons in His hands. Although this ever-existing form is not visible in the material world, He nonetheless appeared in this form. Then, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Radha Swami Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Jaya Pataka Swami Namini Nama Acharya Padaya Nitaya Krupa Padayini Gaura Katha Dhammadaya Nagara Gramatarini Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Tishakarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastava Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangurvam Gayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Guru Vinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram So wishing everyone a very, very happy Abhibhav Tithi of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So today I was asked to speak on Lord Vamanadev.
Krishna Mataji, sorry to interrupt you. Could you please speak a little louder?
Sure. Is this better?
Yes, Mataji, thank you.
Thank you. So today I was asked to speak on Lord Vamanadev and on the appearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So these two topics I will try my level best to cover as much as possible in the time that we have at our disposal. So as this beautiful translation says, the Lord appeared in his original form with ornaments and weapons in his hands. So actually, if we can see, even when Krishna made his appearance, Krishna also appeared in his original form. And then Krishna transformed into a, you know, little baby. Now similarly here also, Lord Vamanadev, when he appeared to Kashyapa Muni and to Aditi, he actually appeared in his original form. And then, in front of his parents, in the presence of his father and mother, he assumed the form of Vamana, a Brahmana dwarf, a Brahmachari, just like a theatrical actor, Nataha. The word, Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport, that the word Nataha is very significant. Just like an actor changes dress to play different parts, but is always the same man. Similarly, that as is described in the Brahma Samhita, that the Lord assumes many thousands and millions of forms. Advaita Machyuta Manadi Mananta Rupam. He is always present with innumerable incarnations. Ramadi Murti Shukaladi Amena Tishtan. So nonetheless, although he appears in various incarnations, they are not different from one another. He is the same person with the same potency, the same eternity, and the same spiritual existence. But he can simultaneously assume various forms. So when Vamanadev appeared from the womb of his mother Aditi, he appeared in the form of Narayan with four hands equipped with the necessary symbolic weapons, and then immediately transformed into a beautiful Brahmachari Vatu. This means that his body is not material. One who thinks that the Supreme Lord assumes a material body is not intelligent, Prabhupada says. He has to learn about the Lord's position. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. One has to understand the transcendental appearance of the Lord in his original transcendental body, Sachid Ananda Vigraha. So Srila Prabhupada is very, very beautifully explaining that how the Lord is, although he is the same personality, he assumes different forms, different personalities, just in order to fulfill certain purposes. This particular form of Vamanadev, as a little small Brahmana dwarf boy, the beauty of Lord Vamanadev is so exquisitely described that anybody's mind would automatically get captivated by this golden child. Lord Vamanadev, you know, if we just look at the picture of Lord Vamanadev, that based on the descriptions of Srila Prabhupada, the way the disciples of Srila Prabhupada have actually drawn the picture of Lord Vamanadev, it can just attract, I mean, that picture itself is so attractive, then we can imagine how many more millions upon millions of times Lord Vamanadev is actually so pleasing and captivating to the heart. He's so beautiful, so delicate, so gorgeous. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that was the purpose, that he wanted himself to be so cutely attractive. You know, children, they're anyways very attractive. You know, little kids are very, very attractive. So imagine the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he assumes this beautiful dwarf-like Brahmana boy form, how much more attractive will this little boy be? And there was a specific purpose for this fifth incarnation amongst the Dashavatar Leela. This Vamana avatar is considered to be the fifth incarnation of the Lord. And this, in this incarnation, the main purpose of the incarnation was that he wanted to, Lord Vamanadeva had come in order to stop Indra from performing the sacrifices that he was performing, because it was becoming threatening towards Indra, the king of heaven. So being, you know, requested by the devatas, Lord Vamanadeva came to the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. And immediately looking at Vamanadeva, Bali Maharaj forgot about his yajna, and he came to this beautiful Brahmana boy and said, "My dear child, tell me, what do you want?" And then Vamanadeva, in his cute little innocence, he actually spoke very beautifully. There's a very beautiful conversation between Vamanadeva and Bali Maharaj. And Vamanadeva says that, "I have come to you because I just desire 3 steps of land." So then there's a very beautiful conversation that follows this statement of Vamanadeva, saying that Bali Maharaj is saying that, "I am capable of giving you an entire planet. Why are you just asking for 3 steps of land?" So then Vamanadeva says that, "My dear Bali Maharaj, I want to be self-content. You are now the, you know, the master of 2 planetary systems. And now you want to become the master of even the heavenly planets. So your desires are never ending. Every person's desires are never ending. So we must learn to be satisfied." We must learn to be satisfied with whatever we have, whatever comes to us, whatever has been awarded to us. We must learn to be satisfied. So Bali Maharaj finally, you know, so like this, there are very, very nice instructions that go on between Bali Maharaj and Vamanadeva. And finally, Bali Maharaj says, "Okay, I agree that I will offer you, I promise you, that I will give you 3 steps of land that you measure with your tiny little feet." So while he was about to do the sankalpa, at that time, Shukracharya, the guru of the daityas, the guru of Bali Maharaj, he immediately understood that this is not an ordinary Brahmana boy, that this indeed is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he came to warn Bali Maharaj that, "Bali Maharaj, don't promise anything to this child. This is actually Vishnu who has come on behalf of the devatas to take away all your possessions." And Shukracharya was saying the absolute truth. He was speaking true. He was saying the right thing. But then Bali Maharaj, he said, "Well, I have already made up my mind. I give in charity to this Brahmana boy. And even if it is Lord Vishnu who has come to ask me, I will not, you know, go away from my regulative principle of dharma of giving in charity to Brahmana." So that was the etiquette and the principles with which Bali Maharaj lived by. And this is one of the most important lessons that we learn. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purports to these particular verses, if you read, Srila Prabhupada very, very scrutinizingly mentions that under what circumstances should we reject a guru. A guru should be rejected when they tell us not to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When they tell us that we should not be doing any service to the devotees or to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. when Guru goes against the service of Krishna, that is where we should reject such a guru. So a very, very important lesson, actually one of the most important lessons in this particular Leela, is about this aspect of guru that Bali Maharaj so beautifully displayed, that he actually rejected the authority of his own spiritual master because he wanted to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Shukracharya, his guru, was telling him not to. So he actually rejected his guru and he went ahead and promised this Batuk Brahmana, little Brahmana boy, to measure 3 steps of land and take 3 steps of land from Bali Maharaj. So then Lord Vamanadev, he was very pleased by the service attitude of Bali Maharaj, and then, from that little Brahmana dwarf, Bali Maharaj witnessed in front of everybody's eyes, Lord Vamanadev became this gigantic. He started expanding, and he became gigantic. He became so big, and with 1 foot, he conquered all of the earthly planet that Bali Maharaj had. With his second foot, he conquered the second planetary system that was under Bali Maharaj's reign, the lower planetary system. Vamanadev conquered that with his second step. And then Vamanadev spoke to Bali Maharaj saying that, "My dear Bali, you promised me 3 steps, but with 2, I have conquered everything that you possess. Now you don't have anything to give me. So where shall I put my 3rd leg? Now your promise is becoming false. So where should I put my 3rd leg? So Bali Maharaj, he actually, without even thinking, he said, "But I still possess something that is my own." And Bali Maharaj just, knelt down in front of the Lord, and he said, "My dear Lord, I request you to put your 3rd leg upon my head and just take me, claim me as your own. Just put your 3rd leg upon my head." So Bali Maharaj is actually one of our Mahajans. He is also one of the acharyas of the 9 processes of devotional service, the final one, which is Atma Nivedanam. Atma Nivedanam is giving up everything, complete surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is personified by Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj completely surrendered everything to the lotus feet of Vamanadev. And Vamanadev, being so pleased with Bali Maharaj, he actually put his lotus feet on Bali Maharaj's head and blessed him. So in this whole thing, this entire episode of the interaction between Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev, the entire purpose was that Bali Maharaj was going to be stopped in performing these sacrifices, fire sacrifices, which were meant to make him the king of heaven. So you see, Krishna is so merciful that he never leaves any desires which are unfulfilled. So then, when Bali Maharaj surrendered everything to Krishna, to Vamanadev, Vamanadev actually pushed him down to the lower planetary systems and told Bali Maharaj that till the time that this particular Indra is in rule, you stay here in this particular planet, in one of the lower planetary systems. And then at the end of your life, the next Indra, you will actually be the next Indra. So like this, Bali Maharaj was already promised that by the Lord, that, okay, you know, your desire of becoming Indra will be taken care of. So this is the merciful nature of Krishna, that yes, he does take away everything, but he gives us everything back too, in his own style. You know, that is the mercy of Krishna. And in the process, what is taken care of is that Krishna takes care of our ego. He completely destroyed the false ego of Bali Maharaj and made him into a completely pure devotee. And he told him that you stay here in this planet along with your grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, and I will be here also with all of you, with both of you I'll be here. And, you know, at the end of that life, you can become Indra also. So like this, we see that Krishna never leaves any desires unfulfilled, but rather he purifies those desires and he purifies us in that process, so that we will be able to accept those benedictions from Krishna. That is the merciful nature of Krishna. How much mercy Krishna is giving. So one other very beautiful exchange that happened during this Vamana Leela is very significant. You know, Bali Maharaj had a very beautiful sister, and her name was Ratnamala. So Bali Maharaj's sister, you know, also came out of the Yajnashala when this little Brahmana boy, so attractive looking Brahmana boy, came into the Yajnashala, and Bali Maharaj came out to greet this Vamana boy. At that time, Bali Maharaj's sister and everyone from Bali Maharaj's family also came out. So Ratnamala Devi also came out. And when she saw this little Vamana boy, so beautiful, so gorgeous, you know, he was carrying a little umbrella, and then he had a little water pot in his hand, and he was barefoot, you know, he was wearing deer skin. So beautiful, so tender, so delicate, you know, bodily parts. He had a golden hue surrounding.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, we can't hear Mataji, so somebody can connect Kalasta Mataji.
Okay. Should we call or?
Either text or call.
We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Everybody.
You may not hear everyone on the call. You will be prompted when the conference is reconnected.
I don't know, Mataji, it's a phone who's joining, everybody is disconnected.
This conference has been reconnected.
Okay, shall we continue?
Yes, Mataji, we can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. So, when Ratnamala saw this beautiful Brahmana boy, her motherly affection was risen to such an extent. So she desired that, I wish I would have a son like this boy, and I would be able to give him milk from myself, and I could, you know, feed him my own milk. She had that desire. And Vamanadev, you know, who is the Paramatma in everybody's heart, recognized this pure desire of Ratnamala and immediately said tathastu to that. So Ratnamala Devi, you know, she had the desire of feeding her milk to Krishna. So Vamanadeva already approved that. But then what happened is that as soon as Vamanadeva assumed his gigantic form, and when he took away everything that Bali Maharaj possessed, Ratnamala Devi was actually very angry, and she became very, very angry, and she said that if I would have such a son, then I would poison my milk and feed that to this boy.
I would poison my milk. I'm so, you know, she was so angry. And even to that desire, Vamanadev said, Tathastu. So in her next life, Ratnamala Devi was born as Putana. And in her form as Putana, she actually was able to fulfill both her desires of giving her milk, but the milk that was poisoned. So you see how merciful Krishna is, that Krishna accepts anything that we desire. Krishna actually accepts that and uses it in his Leela. That is the glory of Krishna. You know, that is the most merciful nature of Krishna, that how he can, you know, utilize each and every desire that we are going through and, you know, utilize it and use it in his Leela and use it in his in the performance of his pastimes. So this is another very beautiful thing that happened during Vamanadev Leela. So Vamanadev actually conquered the heart of Bali Maharaj in three steps. And it is explained that we can also, by following the three steps, you know, we can also conquer the people's hearts. You know, we can conquer the hearts of the materialistic people and give them Krishna bhakti by doing three steps. It's called the three C's of contact, cultivation, and care. So when we, you know, when we are as the ambassadors of Srila Prabhupada's movement, as the servitors of Srila Prabhupada's movement, when we go and contact new people, when we get in touch with new people, we should, you know, take their contact details, we should try to follow up with them, we should try to cultivate them and give them the care that we have received. We should pass on that same care to them so that they can also start practicing bhakti in their own lives. So simply by contact, cultivation, and care, we can conquer the hearts of the people around the world. And just like Vamanadev, he conquered everything. All the, you know, even the anarthas of Bali Maharaj were taken care of by Vamanadev. Similarly, by these three steps of love, these three steps of care, that we can also, you know, by simply giving this message of pure Krishna bhakti to everyone, we can conquer the hearts of all living entities around the world. And such a personality whose divine appearance we are celebrating today is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, I'd like to start off by saying one particular pastime which Srila Prabhupada talks about in a room conversation with some of his devotees. And Srila Prabhupada, you know, one of his disciples is actually reading out that Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that that one day the entire world will be, you know, taking the holy names of Krishna. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will become a household affair around the whole world. And Srila Prabhupada to that, he said that, yes, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is Vaishnav. He is all-powerful. So he actually, if he wanted, he could have, you know, propagated this entire prediction. He could have done it himself. But it is his mercy that he left the job incomplete. He actually allowed all of us, you know, giving all of us the opportunity so that we can fulfill that prediction of even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prithivite Ache Jato Nagaradi Gram, Sarvatra Prachar Hoibe Mor Naam, which means in every town and village of the world, the holy names of Krishna will be resonated. So Prabhupada is saying that if Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted, he could have fulfilled this prophecy himself, because Vaishnavas are all powerful. But it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mercy that he left the job incomplete so that we can fulfill it, Prabhupada said. So that is the glory of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he is known as Sri Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And his appearance was in 1838. He appeared in the Nadia district in West Bengal. And he, all of us know that how he was a district magistrate. And in spite of having such a, you know, wonderful family, he actually had a very, very intense schedule. Every minute, every second of his day was, you know, dedicated to the service of Guru and Krishna. It is explained that Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daily schedule would be something like this. He would take rest from 8 o'clock in the evening to 10 o'clock in the night. 2 hours he would take rest. Then at 10 o'clock in the night, 4 a.m., he would write. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written more than 100 books and more than hundreds and hundreds of songs. From 10 p.m. to 4 a.m., he would write every single day. And then from 4 a.m. to 4:30 a.m., he would rest for a little while, just for 30 more minutes. And then from 4:30 a.m. to 7 a.m., Bhaktivinoda Thakur would chant his japa. 7 a.m. to 7:30 a.m., he would take care of correspondence. Correspondence means that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur would actually, it is explained that every day he would get a cartload of letters, you know, from all of his followers and disciples. Bhaktivinoda Thakur would get cartloads of letters. You know, cartload means those days there would be bullock carts. So the bullock cart would be filled up with letters and he would get much correspondence every day. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur would, you know, write letters and take care of correspondence from 7 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Then from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m., for 2 hours, he would study the Shastras. Then from 9:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., he would take bath and he would take prasad. Then 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., he would go and take care of his magistrate duties. And in order for him to not waste even a single moment, the English government had actually made a small, you know, it was a tiny railroad track that had started from his house till the court. The British had actually laid that special railroad for Bhaktivinoda Thakur so that he could be picked up from his house and would be brought to the court and not so much time would be wasted in travel. So this was how much even the British valued the services of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that train line is there even till today. You can see it in Godrum Dweep, at the home of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It is right outside the home of, his home near Krishnanagar in Mayapur. And his home is called as the Swananda Surabhi Kunja. And it's amazingly, you know, beautiful, beautiful home Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has. And so till 1 o'clock, he would take care of court duties. 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, he would come back home and he would, you know, refresh at home. And then 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock, he would go back again and take care of his court duties. Then 5 p.m. he would return home, and 5 to 7 p.m. he would translate Sanskrit Shastras into Bengali. He would translate from Sanskrit into Bengali. And then from 7 to 8, he would again take a little bath and he would take some prasadam. So the summary of the daily schedule was that his sleep was only for 3 hours out of 24. His sleep was only 3 hours. He would write for 8.5 hours. His japa and study time was 4.5 hours. And his work was 6 hours. So this is the amazing potency of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that how, actually if you see in the Shad Goswami Ashtakam, Srila Srinivas Acharya, he is glorifying the 6 Goswamis by saying, Nana Shastra Vicharenai Kanipuno Sadharma Samsthapako Lokanam Hitakarinam Tribhuvane Manno Saranakaro. So like this, he's saying that the 6 Goswamis deeply studied all the Shastras in order to establish eternal religious principles for the benefit of everyone. So similarly, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made unlimited preaching contributions for the human society. And for this reason, he is very lovingly called as the 7th Goswami. So this is the reason why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, almost every single day in our daily prayers, we actually are singing the songs that have been written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jaya Radha Madhava, Kunja Bihari, that song is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The Mahaprasade Govinde, Sharire Avidya Jal, before honoring Prasadam, the mantras that we chant, that has been written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So much contribution Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given towards, for all of us. It is really, really amazing. So there are majorly 3 very specific predictions that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has made. The first prediction is concerning a person and a phenomena. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that a personality will soon appear and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. This is the first prediction of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that a personality will soon appear and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And we know that this personality is none other than our very own dear Srila Prabhupada. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, at that time, these great personalities, they are Trikal Darshis. They know past, present, and most importantly, they know the future. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur could predict the future, and that's why he made this prediction that a personality will soon appear and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The second prediction Bhaktivinoda Thakur made is that very soon the chanting of Harinam Sankirtan will be spread all over the world. Oh, when will that day come when people from America, England, France, Germany, Russia will take up karatals and mridangas and chant Hare Krishna in their towns? What an amazing prediction. This is what is happening today by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and his glorious disciples. So how much, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has seen this happening that in their own towns, you know, like this means that in America, in England, in France, in Germany, and in Russia, the kartals and mridangas will be played by the people of those countries, and it will spread all over the world, and they will chant Hare Krishna in their own towns. This is the second prediction. The third prediction is, when will that day come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Sri Mayapur Dham and join with the Bengali Vaishnavas to chant Jaya Sachi Nandana, Jaya Sachi Nandana? When will that day be? Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, when will that day come when fair-skinned people will come and they will come to Mayapur Dham and chant along with the Bengali Vaishnavas? So we see that how Srila Prabhupada, being the ambassador of the entire Guru Parampara, he actually fulfilled these predictions given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Prabhupada would very, you know, with so much of spiritual happiness and so much of spiritual pride, Srila Prabhupada would say, when I come to India with my dancing white elephants, everyone, the entire India, the population of India, will raise their arms and chant Hare Krishna. And that is exactly what happened. That when Srila Prabhupada came back to India with his dancing white elephants, just by seeing such amazing white Vaishnavas, everyone in India became a devotee, and India became surcharged with Krishna consciousness. That, you know, Srila Prabhupada many a times, he actually said that, you know, the year 1896, which is the appearance year of our very dear Srila Prabhupada, that very same year, actually, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had sent a book written in English on the life and precepts of Lord Chaitanya. He sent it overseas to London. And this actually, you know, Prabhupada would actually say that this is very, very historic, that the same year that I appeared, means Srila Prabhupada appeared, that he actually sent his books to London. Bhaktivinoda Thakur did this. So in so Bhaktivinoda Thakur made this prediction about, you know, the third prediction about Vaishnavas chanting in Mayapur from all over the world, fair-skinned Vaishnavas. He did that prediction in 1896. And in 1986, just 100 years after Bhaktivinoda Thakur's third prediction, 3,000 fair-skinned devotees from America, England, France, Germany, Russia, and 50 other countries, they gathered at ISKCON Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir in Sridham Mayapur. And they joined 1,000 Bengali Vaishnavas to rock the universe by chanting Jaya Sachi Nandana, Jaya Sachi Nandana, Jaya Sachi Nandana, Gaura Hari. So this is something very, very amazing, and one of another very, very important contribution of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is about the the discovery of the appearance place of Sriman Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu's appearance place was a mystery, that where exactly did Gauranga Mahaprabhu appear, that was not, you know, the exact, you know, place, because of the course of Mother Ganges. The exact place of Mahaprabhu's appearance was, you know, covered, then uncovered, then again covered, then again uncovered. So Mother Ganges, because of her flow, you know, she had covered the exact place of Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So one day when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was writing, you know, we know that he spent 4.5 hours
of his time, you know, during the entire day to write and to, you know, chant his japa. So, you know, sorry, 8.5 hours a day he spent his time in writing. So during those times, one day he was sitting and writing, and that room is still there in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. It is on the second floor, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was sitting at his study table and he was writing, and suddenly he saw that there was a bright effulgent light coming from across the Jalangi. Jalangi is the Jamuna of Mayapur Dham, you know. So there was a small little stream of Jamuna that was flowing just right outside of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. And across the Jalangi, he saw that there was a bright light coming. And he came towards his balcony. There's a small little balcony that opened out from his room. And he saw this very bright, effulgent place. The next day, the very next day, he actually crossed the Jalangi and he came to this place. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and inquired from the local villagers of this place about this place. And he said, the villagers actually told him that, yes, yes, Thakur, nothing grows here. You know, this particular tract of land, we have tried to take out, only Tulasi grows here, nothing else grows. You see, we are farmers. We are trying to cultivate so much sabji and, you know, wheat and all these different ingredients. We are trying to cultivate and farm them. But nothing else grows here other than Tulasi. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, oh, okay, so this must be the appearance place of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You know, the bright light that he saw and then the confirmation that he got from the villagers. But then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, but still, I need, you know, solid confirmation. So he went to his Gurudev, his Shiksha Guru, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. And Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, at that time, he was more than 125 years old. So he was not even able to sit properly, you know. He was so old, and because of his old age, he would be almost like, you know, bent over, you know. His spinal cord was, you know, his spine would always be bent like a bow. He would not be able to even sit straight. So, and his eyebrows were so much drooping down that his eyes would always remain closed. You know, his eyebrows would be drooping down like that. So he was very, very old. And constantly, you know, Jagannath Das Babaji would just chant the Hare Krishna mantra. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to Jagannath Das Babaji and told him that I want you to confirm if the tract of land that I saw, if that is the appearance place of Gauranga Mahaprabhu or not. So then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he carried Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj in a basket and brought him to this particular tract of land. And as soon as he placed the basket down, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, you know, who was so old, who could not even sit, could not even walk, that personality, he just sprang up from the basket and he just started dancing with his arms raised high. He started dancing, Gauranga, Gauranga, Gauranga. And he said, yes, this indeed is the appearance place of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, getting this final confirmation from his spiritual master, he declared that this is the tract of land where Mahaprabhu appeared 500 years ago. And then he took on the service of building the Yogapith Mandir. And it is explained that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so merciful that if he wanted, he could have financed the entire project. And he could have just built the temple. But he actually wanted everyone to participate in the building and the construction of this glorious temple, the Yogapith,
for Sri Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself, he would go begging door to door, and he would request everyone to just give even 1 rupee. And he collected Lakshmi like this by begging door to door, and he constructed this very, very opulent temple which stands today as Yogapeet. So Yogapeet, as we see today, the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this temple was constructed under the supervision of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur raised the Lakshmi for constructing this temple himself. So this is, you know, just some brief way that I could just summarize the contributions of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And that is the reason why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how the, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he actually is the one who re-established. You see, what happened is when Mahaprabhu took sannyas and he left West Bengal and made his headquarters as Jagannath Puri, at that time Mahaprabhu instructed Lord Nityananda Prabhu to go back to Bengal and to preach the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And that's when Lord Nityananda Prabhu came back to Bengal under the instructions of Mahaprabhu, and he started preaching. And Lord Nityananda was so amazing, such a powerful preacher, that he actually was able to transform not only people, but he would transform villages after villages. Villages were becoming devotees. You know, everyone in the village was becoming devotees by the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. That is why Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this very beautiful song, Nodiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajan Patiyache Namahatto Jivere Karun. That Namahatta, the marketplace of the holy name, was laid down by Nityananda Ram. And he is the greatest Mahajan. Mahajan means that when you have a marketplace, the main sahukar or the main merchant is called the Mahajan. That who has the main supplies, you know, the wholesale, you know, marketeer basically. So Nityananda Prabhu is that Mahajan, Nityananda Mahajan. So from him, we can buy in retail and we can do some retail business. So this is how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur glorifies Lord Nityananda as the original propagator of the Namahatta system. And it started from Godrum Dweep, from the Dweep of, you know, where Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house is today, the Surabhi Kunj, you know, where Lord Nityananda first started the Namahatta preaching program. And when, after the, you know, disappearance of Lord Nityananda, and, you know, till the time that Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared, a few, you know, couple hundred years had passed by. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur came, he actually washed away all upper sampradayas. You know, Aul, Baul, there were so many upper sampradayas that had crept up that Bhaktivinoda Thakur just, you know, completely washed them away. And the same kind of, you know, preaching that was established by Nityananda Prabhu, Bhaktivinoda Thakur re-established the preaching in the same standard. So the preaching style of Nityananda Prabhu was re-established by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur through the Namahatta process. So what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur established as Namahatta in the 1800s, that has been revived today in the form of the Bhakti Vriksha system. And that system is following the exact tenets of the rules that have been given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself. You know, the 3 C's that I was talking about, contact, cultivation, and care, this is the Vamanadeva approach to contact and to conquer the hearts of the people around the world. And this is the process that has been given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, reviving it
from the preaching strategy of Lord Nityananda himself. All of this is recorded in Bhakti Vinod Thakur's book, which is called as the Godruma Kalpatavi, and very beautiful preaching strategies that Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur had in his Namahatta system. We are, you know, today, in today's day and age, in ISKCON today, we are utilizing the same process as Bhakti Vriksha. So that is the contribution of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and, you know, he is one of our very, very, very powerful acharyas. And in his eternal form, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is serving Rupa Manjari as Kamala Manjari. That is the eternal form of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, is Kamala Manjari. She is a Manjari serving under Srila Rupa Goswami, who is Rupa Manjari. And Kamala Manjari is one of the leading Manjaris who, you know, very intricately, you know, serve in the forest groves of the pastime places of Sri Sri Radha and Shyamasundara. So this is the glorious life of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And we are so, so fortunate that we are part of this legacy. That, you know, somehow or the other, we do not know for what qualification. Actually, for no qualification, you know, that is the reason why it is called as causeless mercy. Because of the causeless mercy of some Vaishnava, that we are part of this glorious mission, which we really do not deserve to be part of. But somehow or the other, we are part of this glorious mission. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has, you know, is, you know, such empowered personality, is part of this mission. So, you know, that same potency is there, even, you know, if to whatever extent we are utilizing that potency, that much effect it will have in our own lives, and we will be able to affect the lives of others with that much potency. To the potency with which we are able to accept it. With that much potency, we'll be able to share it with others also. So if you are able to take 80%, we will also be able to share 80%. But if you are able to somehow or the other, if we are able to take out all 100%, then we will also be able to give 100% back to the community. So let us pray on this most auspicious appearance day of the 7th Goswami, Srila Sachidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur, that may he allow us to become humble recipients of his mercy, allow us to become humble messengers on behalf of the entire parampara, and to reclaim the conditioned souls back to the service of Srila Prabhupada and to the entire Guru Parampara. So with this prayer, we'll end here. If there's any questions, comments, or reflections, we can take that now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Mataji, for wonderful pastimes. Mataji, I have one question here. Is there any instance where Vamanadev or Bali Maharaj tied either of them with rope?
Oh, yes, yes. There is a detail of that. When Vamanadev pushed down Bali Maharaj, he was actually tied down by the ropes of Varuna, you know, and that is a separate a discussion itself, and it is, you know, he was arrested, so to speak, you know. so, yeah, he was tied by the ropes of Varuna.
Okay, means Vamanadev was tied by Varuna, right?
Not Vamanadev was tied, but he got tied.
Oh, okay.
He got tied up, yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam, Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class and how beautifully you summarized both the elaborate topics. So, that's so wonderful. If time permits, Mataji, is there any reference? Like, this question really raised up in my mind too, that how come Vamanadev being tied? I don't know how detailed it is that it will be able for you to cover it up, because I never heard of it.
No, it's actually a little detailed. Maybe we can cover it at another time, because I don't want to get into it.
Sure.
Because, you know, it will bring up many other points also.
It's
an entire chapter that describes this entire pastime. So,
it's there in Bhagavatam?
Yes. Yes.
Then I'll look for it, Mataji. No worries.
Yeah, it's in the eighth canto.
Sure. Thank you so much, Mataji, and thank you for your beautiful class once again.
Thank you.
Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was a very, very beautiful session. The best way to start the day today. It was so wonderful. I just had one thing to add. I believe Bali Maharaj was arrested by the ropes of Varuna. I think. Because the others, I thought they got confused saying that Vamanadeva got arrested, so I just wanted to clarify.
No. I think the question was that did Vamanadeva arrest him? So the thing is that no, it's not Vamanadeva who arrested Bali Maharaj with the rope of. He got arrested by the rope of. Bali Maharaj himself got arrested by the rope of Varuna.
Oh, now it makes a total different change, Mataji. Yeah, then that story we know, but I thought we are talking that Vamanadeva was being arrested.
No. Sorry, no.
Yeah,
Vamanadeva.
Then it makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Mataji.
It's Bali Maharaj. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, just another question. So we're talking about the three steps of Vamanadeva, and the first step, he measures the upper planetary system, second step, lower planetary systems. And then later, he puts a third step on Bali Maharaj's head. So the question is, isn't Bali Maharaj included in the two sets of universes?
I had the same question, actually, you know, and I asked the same question, and then the way Jayapataka Maharaj answered this question, I'll just respond the same way to you. And he said that yes, you know, but Bali Maharaj was the possessor of the earthly planet and the lower planetary systems. This is what he had in his possession, which Vamanadeva already took. But he took the possessions. He didn't take the possessor, you see. So Bali Maharaj is separate from those possessions that he had. So those two things he possessed. But the possessor, you know, that ego that was still there with Bali Maharaj. So when he surrendered, he actually surrendered himself. He surrendered his ego. And he surrendered. That's why he is called as, he's the Acharya for Atma Nivedana. That is complete surrender. You know, so he just, you know, surrendering just the possessions is actually just surrendering only the possessions. You're not yourself surrendering. So yourself is also a commodity. Right. You see?
Yeah. So go ahead.
No, so that's what I was just saying. So... Mm-hmm. So Bali Maharaj, he didn't surrender his two possessions. You know, Vamanadeva just happened to take away both of his possessions. And once he took away both the possessions, then Bali Maharaj was left with nothing other than his own ego.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was his possession too.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, like, thank you for that clarification, because. So I was kind of thinking, if he's thinking he's owning all the plan, all the upper and the lower plan, he's the owner, then he's not the owner, because Krishna is the actual owner of all the material universes. But then again, as you mentioned, the exact answer is actually it's about the ego, the false ego that he had to surrender. That was
exactly.
Thank you, Mother. That was very nice. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavad Pranam. I'm Niharika from Omaha. Mataji, I have one question. First of all, like, it was a wonderful session. I'm hearing for the first time regarding the Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much. It was so blissful hearing everything. Mataji, like, I have a question regarding like Vaman Avatar. So, like, does Lakshmi Devi or Radha Rani came in any form in Vamana Avatar to serve Lord Shiva? No?
Very, very sweet question. Very sweet question. Actually, in the form of Vamana Dev, because he's a small Brahmana boy, Lakshmi Devi was conspicuous in her absence, you know. She's always there because, you know, Lakshmi means Shri, which means opulences. So Lakshmi Devi is like an inert, you know, how should I say, like the potency, you know, the pleasure potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that sense, she's always there. But in this Vamana form, she did not manifest herself physically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Niharika. Very nice question. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much for beautifully intertwining both Vamana Dev and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's stories and their glories today. Mataji, I had a few questions, one on Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and one on Vamana Dev Avatar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, was Bhaktivinoda Thakur Grihastha?
Yes. Yes,
So how did he balance his Grihastha life, and how can we follow? I mean, of course, it's not possible to follow his schedule, but how can we balance our work, personal, Krishna life, everything?
Right, right. Very good question. Very, very good question. This is Hindu, right?
Yes, Mataji.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Yes, so very nice question, Hindu. And see, the main thing is that, first of all, you know, about there is no such thing as balancing material life and spiritual life, because then balance means there is existence of both. You see, you have to balance it out. Like in a weighing scale, the way you balance it out, that you have the same measure on both the, you know, components, and then both of them measure out, you know, so that's a balance. So, but spiritual life, there's nothing called as balancing material life and spiritual life. It is actually about spiritualizing our material life. That is the secret. So we don't lead two lives, we actually lead just one. It is about how we are able to spiritualize our material life. That even though we may be performing external duties of going to work and taking care of family, doing all of that, but internally we are so strongly connected to Krishna that we are always chanting the Hare Krishna mantra no matter what we are doing externally. So that state is called as spiritualizing our mundane life. So there's no question of balancing material life and spiritual life, because it's like then you're stepping on two boats. and, you know, having your boat on the material life and then having your step on the, you know, spiritual boat, and you'll have an accident, you know. You can't have two boats at the same time at your disposal. You have to choose one. So it is about spiritualizing our material life. That is the secret of Krishna consciousness, how we are able to transform, you know, our spirit, our day-to-day activities in Krishna consciousness. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. And that is why it's not Krishna activities, it is Krishna consciousness. You know, it doesn't really matter what activity we may be doing, but, you know, one example that was given by Srila Radhanath Swami Guru Maharaj, he said that, you know, in very, very cold places, in the early mornings, if we have to go out to work, how do we equip ourselves? We equip ourselves by wearing on, you know, mittens, gloves, we wear socks, we wear, you know, 2-3 jackets, we wear a hat, we wear earmuffs, we wear all of this, and then step outside the house. So then we are protected from the cold weather. That's how we get protected from the cold weather. Now if you think, oh, yesterday when I left the house, I was wearing all that cold, you know, all my cold clothes. So today when I go out, I don't have to wear it. I was protected yesterday, so because I wore it yesterday, if I don't wear it today, it's okay. Is that a logical argument? No. You have to wear cold clothes to protect ourselves from cold weather. We have to wear warm clothes every day. Before stepping out into the cold, we have to equip ourselves with warm clothes. So, similarly, when we equip ourselves to fight against Maya, when we, you know, strongly have a very strong sadhana of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, to listening to Krishna Katha, listening to the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, listening to the words of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. When we do all of that, that is like equipping ourselves to be able to challenge and fight against Maya. So when we come out, equipped ourselves with these warm clothes of sadhana, strong sadhana, then whatever situation we may go out into, that situation will not have effect upon us because we will be protected by the kavacha of our sadhana. That will protect us. So that is how we need to transform our daily activities into spiritual activities. Always, you know, connecting them to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yes, Mataji. I'll have to meditate on spiritualizing my material life. It's difficult, but yeah, it is
doable.
That I would have
Trust
to learn.
Me,
it is
doable. It is. You know, that is how these great acharyas. That's how they lived their lives. You know, and it comes by practice. It's actually very simple. It comes by practice. If we are able to remember Krishna, then that practice comes very naturally. We just have to consciously think about Krishna. You had another question, Indu?
Mataji, that's okay. Yes, my other question was on Mahabali, and why was he taken to a lower planetary system? Why didn't Vamana Dev take him to Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha or somewhere there?
Well, because that's Sutala planet where, you know, Bali Maharaj actually had the desire to stay with Prahlad Maharaj, and Prahlad Maharaj was staying in Sutala. And in Sutala also there is, you know, a form of Krishna who was always present with Prahlad Maharaj. And so that place was actually non different than Vaikuntha because of the presence of, you know, Krishna there. So, you know, that was the reason why that Bali Maharaj was also very satisfied to stay in Sutala, because Prahlad Maharaj was there, his grandfather, and Krishna himself in one of his forms was present in that particular planet.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. This is Damodaran Das. I just wanted to mention that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not only Grihastha, he had 11 children. And
yes,
the daily activity that we just read, just like Srila Prabhupada, he also had 2 or 3 children. It is later part of their life that they were leading that kind of strict life with a very strict regimen. And the other thing, we all know that Krishna cannot be bound by Varuna Pash. He can be only bound by Bhakti Pash. I just wanted to just mention it. That we should not be confused. Why are they being tied with ropes?
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for mentioning that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So actually, out of the 11 children of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, 9 of them were sannyasis. And one of them was the most glorious Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Sri Srila Prabhupada, one of the sons, was him. And so you can see that even from his activities, you know, even though he was a householder, he was completely, you know, he was living the life of a Babaji, you know, later lives of a Babaji. So thank you, Prabhu, for clarifying that. Any other points?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. I have a question.
Yes. Who is this?
This is Asya.
Sure, Beta. Yes, what is your question?
Now, when Bali Maharaj's sister became Putana and Krishna delivered her, did she go to her brother or did she directly go to Goloka Vrindavan?
The description is given that she actually went back to Goloka Vrindavan and Krishna gave her the position of a mother in Goloka Vrindavan. She was directly transferred to Goloka.
Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you for a very nice question. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Mataji, thank you so much, Mataji. I really like the point you just 3C and you connected with the Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, how, and then also same time Bhamanadeva also, how he conquered the life of Bali Maharaj, and also how Bhaktivinoda Thakur also did same thing to give Krishna consciousness. Means in that connection, I have a question, Mataji. First contact, and then cultivation, and then care. Mataji, while when we have a contact with the people, sometime what happened, especially we are in new place now, and then we try to contact, and then some of the our friend, they are becoming very close. But I'm telling, they also want to cook for us. So we always like to give prasad na to them. And they are very grateful, and they also want to cook. And then my husband said, if you want to cook, just buy new pot and everything new, and we can eat. But sometimes they want to call very often. I'm very scared to go regular eat in their house. Sometimes when they come our house, they also want to bring prasadam. They cook very purely and bring, but they want to call very often. And how we deal with them, Mataji? Should we go out oftenly, or means how we can make distance?
You may help.
Well, see, this is a very specific question, and I mean it depends on how much personal relationship we can have with that person, and we can explain to them, you know, that if they are, for example, if they are meat eaters, then, you know, if they are cooking in a very pure way, in a new pot and everything, then it's perfectly fine. And you tell them that, you know, if you want us to come, you cook in this way and you offer it to Krishna, I will show you how to offer to Krishna. Come, let me show you. You know, you go to their house, you cook along with them, and then, you know, show them how to offer, set up a small altar, you know, with just pictures, and show them how to offer. And then, you know, they can, you know, all eat prasad. You can definitely go then and eat prasad. There's nothing wrong with that. And so just by, you know, not making the rule saying that, okay, this is what you must be doing, you know, this is what we are doing, you know, don't make it sound not too achievable for them, you know. Make it sound very simple. And, you know, go to their house and show them also, you know. Show them that you care. You know, the thing is that people really don't care how much we know unless they know that we care for them, you know. So if we have genuine care for people, then they will understand the love with which we are doing what we are doing, you know. And then they will understand that, okay, you know, you are really not saying this because you don't want to eat what they are cooking, because sometimes, especially ladies, they can get very offended if you don't eat what they're cooking. They take it very personally. And but then if you explain to them on a personal level, that, you know, this is the reason why we are not doing so. You know, we want to eat something which is, you know, cooked in a sadachar way. And I will show you how to offer, come this way, that way. You know, you just be very kind, very loving towards them and show them in person how to do. Then there is nothing wrong if they are also cooking and bringing. If they are cooking in a sadachar way, if they are offering and bringing it, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, and then slowly, slowly, their eating of, you know, all the unnecessary things will also reduce one day. So that is the austerity that a preacher takes on, you know. So again, it is not about how much and to what extent, but this will, you know, it'll go from person to person. There's not one fixed rule that I can say that, you know, but you have to be the best judge of it and how much you can tell to that other person, you know. It depends on how much good personal rapport you have with that person. So does that help?
Yes, yes, Mataji. Yeah, they're chanting to Ram. Yeah, they are nice. Yeah. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. All glories to your preaching endeavors. Wonderful services. Thank you. Any more questions?
Hare Krishna Karasuda Mataji, Koti Koti Dhanyavad Pranam to your seva. Thank you very much for explaining such a nice class. Mataji, can you please sing Nadiya Godruma Nityananda Mahajan Shrittavan Janaho Saddavan Janaho?
Sure. I will definitely sing. But in the end, if there's no more other questions,
yes.
Any more questions?
Yeah, thank you so much for your wonderful association. Now we can end the call. Let's pay our obeisances to Her Grace Kalasada Mataji and all the devotees. Vansa Kalpatarvesa Kripa Sindhu Evacha Patita Nama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Anant Koti Vaishnavindaki Jai. Everybody, Hare Krishna.